Good morning. Again, my name is Eric Bogitsky. My colleagues and I at Mississippi State University have been doing some research this past year looking at the effects of commonly used pre-emergent herbicides on hybrid Bermuda grass sod. And for purposes of this talk today, I would like to specifically talk about the study we did looking at the effects of these pre-herbicides on hybrid Bermuda grass root growth and morphology. So, a brief introduction. Hybrid Bermuda grass is commonly produced as sod throughout the southern United States and other warm season climates around the world. And sod producers are faced with many challenges on a day-to-day basis, and one of those is weed control. In the past, these sod producers have looked to post-emergent herbicides like MSMA for annual grass control. However, with the recent regulation of MSMA and the increasing demand for high-quality sod throughout the industry, sod producers are having to look towards other aspects to control weeds. And one of the ways they're doing that is adopting to the use of pre-emergent herbicides. The problem is, a lot of these common pre-emergent herbicides do injure the crop and will injure Bermuda grass, as you see in this picture here. There's been a lot of research done, especially recently, looking at this. Specifically, Dr. Bronson at Tennessee did a study in 2014 looking at this and how these herbicides affect the growing and harvestability of sod. And specifically, a lot of these herbicides attack the roots. And that's what I want to focus on with this study. So the main objective, the underlying objective here is to really give these sod producers as much information as possible so they could best make the best decision for pre-emergent herbicides in their field. But for this study, we wanted to specifically quantify the effects of pre-emergent herbicides on root growth and morphology of hybrid Bermuda grass. So to do this, we conducted an experiment using a completely randomized design with four replications in a climate-controlled greenhouse. I planted Latitude 36 hybrid Bermuda grass plugs in native soil in pots, and once again, I grew them in the greenhouse. The roots were cut to 2 centimeters before transplanting. The way I did this was I went in the field and cut sod, a strip of Latitude 36 sod, to a depth of 2 centimeters, and then took plugs from this sod using a common plugger, 6 centimeters in diameter, and planted these in pots. The treatments were applied one day after planting, and this was a repeated study. The first was conducted on April 5th this year, and the second started on July 7th of this year. This is a list of the treatments that I used in this study. They are separated by, isolated by the herbicide number, and they are separated by mode of action. And as you can see, we have a very extensive list of commonly used pre-emergent herbicides, including some that are not currently actually labeled for sod production, such as atrazine plus metolachlor, Bicep 2, Spectacle Flow, which is indazaflam, and flumioxazine are not currently labeled for establishment in hybrid Bermuda grass sod. But we are seeing throughout the state of Mississippi and others that several sod producers are using these herbicides to control weeds, so we wanted to include them in this study as well. So the response variables, I harvested roots at 4, 6, and 10 weeks after treatment. For purpose of this talk today, I'm going to specifically look at the 4 and 10 week after treatment timings. And at these timings, I measured the root mass in grams, and I also measured the total root length in centimeters using WinRhizo Pro. The pictures here at the bottom is an example of a set of roots being run through WinRhizo Pro. The image on the left is looking at is a set of roots before it's been analyzed, and on the right is the same image after it's been analyzed. Another important part of this study is we want to determine the amount of free carbohydrates located in the roots, and I took this data at 6 and 10 weeks after treatment. However, unfortunately, this is an ongoing study, and we don't have this data yet, but we're looking to get good results from this in the near future. Another response variable I looked at was the percent green cover. I did this using the Edit Cover Analysis Macro within SigmaScan Pro, developed by Dr. Karcher and Dr. Richardson at the University of Arkansas. I took digital images weekly using a light box, and I ran these images through the SigmaScan Pro software. And what this software does, for those who are not familiar, is it develops a percent cover ratio. So it determines the total number of green pixels and the total amount of pixels for that image and gives us a percent green cover. Now, using pots in this study, we ran into a problem in that the pots were round and the images were square. And to account for this, I used a calibration image of an estimated 100% cover to construct a more accurate representation of the percentage of green cover within the pot. So the statistical analysis, the root mass and length data were subject to analysis of variance in PropGlimix, and I used adjusted 95% confidence intervals, which allowed for multiple comparisons between treatments and also accounted for the family-wise error rate in this study. For the percent cover data, they're subject to a nonlinear sigmoidal variable slope regression model, and I used this to determine a time to 50% cover. The data, the days after treatment, were log transformed to allow to calculate an EC50, which is where the graph meets the y-axis at 50, which gave us a time of 50% cover. I also used 95% confidence intervals to detect differences between treatments with this as well. So let's look at some results. First, the root analysis results. This graph here is looking at the root mass taken at 4 weeks after treatment. Along the x-axis is mass in grams, and the y-axis is the treatments. I only included the treatments that significantly reduced what root mass compared to the non-treated in this graph. And as we could see, dithiapyr, flumioxazin, metolachlor, pendimethalin, and prodiamine all significantly reduced root mass at 4 weeks after treatment. However, this graph is the same graph, just taken at 10 weeks after treatment, and I included the same herbicides that we saw differences in at 4 weeks after treatment, but by 10 weeks after treatment, we did not see any differences between the treatments and the non-treated. And this suggests that, however, these herbicides may initially affect the root growth and the root mass, by 10 weeks after treatment, Bermudagrass was able to recover and outgrow these effects. We saw similar results in root length taken 4 weeks after treatment. In this graph, the length is shown on the x-axis in centimeters, and the herbicides that reduced total root length compared to the non-treated are on the y-axis. In this case, only dithiapyr and metolachlor significantly reduced root length. But once again, at 10 weeks after treatment, the dithiapyr and metolachlor did not significantly reduce the total root length when compared to the non-treated, which once again, to reinforce the point I made in the last slide, by 10 weeks after treatment, hybrid Bermudagrass is able to outgrow these effects, at least within root growth. So the percent cover results. This graph is looking at the days to reach 50% hybrid Bermudagrass cover based on 95% confidence intervals, with days being on the x-axis and the treatments being on the y-axis. These bars represent the 95% confidence intervals, with the black line in the middle representing the mean. And as you can see, the treatments on the y-axis shown with an asterisk significantly increased days to 50% cover when compared to the non-treated. If the bars overlap, that shows that there is not a significant difference between that and the non-treated, or that and another treatment. And as you can see, prodiamine, atrazine plus metolachlor, simazine, oxidized on WSP, flumioxazin, metolachlor, and indazaflam all significantly increase the time to 50% cover when compared to the non-treated. One other treatment combination I would like to point out is the difference between the two formulations of oxidizon, a granular and a flowable, a wettable powder, and these show drastic effects when compared to one another. And I thought that was interesting. That could be because when I sprayed these herbicides, I allowed them to dry outside of the greenhouse for a few hours before I placed them in the greenhouse. And I'm thinking that the flowable affected the green tissue on top, and that's why we saw a difference in days to reach 50% cover. So some conclusions. There were several pre-emergent herbicides that initially injured hybrid Bermudagrass roots. Those, once again, were prodiamine, pendimethalin, dithiapyr, metolachlor, and flumioxazin. However, hybrid Bermudagrass was able to recover and outgrow these effects by 10 weeks after treatment. There were also several herbicides that increased the growing time for newly planted hybrid Bermudagrass compared to the non-treated. Those, once again, were atrazine plus metolachlor, flumioxazin, indazaflam, metolachlor, liquid applied oxidiazon, prodiamine, and simazine. A couple other conclusions I want to point out to you today is flumioxazin, which is not currently labeled for sod production, especially at establishment, is the same mode of action as oxidiazon. However, it did increase the days to 50% cover. So that's something that sod producers would have to take into account if they use that herbicide. However, through the study, we are able to determine that several herbicides may be utilized for pre-emergent weed control in hybrid Bermudagrass sod production without negatively affecting the root growth or growing. Some future research. We are currently conducting a field study looking at these same herbicides on growing and health of the sod after these pre-emergent herbicide applications. And we'd also like to evaluate the growing of other grass species after these pre-emergent herbicide applications. This is a list of references I use throughout this study. I would also like to acknowledge the Mid-South Turfgrass Council, which is a group of sod producers in the southeastern United States, for funding this study. And with that, I will take any questions. Yes, sir. That's a good question. The question was concerning what would be my recommendation. The granular formulation of oxidiazon was probably the most consistent throughout the study at not having any effects on the root growth. However, I understand that this is a more expensive formulation of oxidiazon. However, that would be my recommendation to a hybrid Bermudagrass sod producer.
I have one more question after.
Yes, sir.
Sod growers in Mississippi, they strip sod, or they
It varies. We're seeing more and more adopting the sprig scenario, but there are still a lot of producers that just strip it and wait for it to grow in after ribbons.
So it's packing down, it's stolen more important than rooting in that case?
Well, they're both important. That's why we want to adopt the percent cover and the root growth in this study. Obviously, both are vital to produce healthy sod, so that was a good question. Yes, sir.
Just a question, after you applying the herbicide treatments, what was your procedure for watering it in after that?
I didn't mention that. It's a good question. The question was concerning the watering in after the application of these herbicides. These pots, both runs were conducted during the summer. So initially, after I applied these herbicides, I let them dry down outside before I moved it into the greenhouse. But after that, they were watered at least once a day, sometimes on hot days, even twice a day, throughout the extent of the study, and that's for both runs. So they were watered at least once a day.
Fan nozzle or open hose?
Just open hose. Yeah. Yes, sir. Greenhouse. Do you have another question?
One more.
Yeah.
Have you looked at potentially fall applications of these pre-emergent herbicides to help maybe with the spring harvested?
Okay. The question was concerning, have I looked at fall applications of these herbicides? One of the field studies that I'm currently conducting is looking at mature sod and spraying these herbicides on that and seeing if it has any effects on sod tensile strength. And in that study, we applied herbicides both in the fall and in the spring to take that into account. And we're harvesting in the spring and summer during that study. And what we're seeing is that in mature sod, we're not seeing any differences from any of these pre-emergent herbicide applications in terms of sod tensile strength. So, does that answer your question?
Yeah.
One more question? All right, thank you.